Tom Mascheri has joined us on Sports Byline USA. Did you guys have any inkling at all about the fact that this game might be a high-scoring game, that it might be a game that turned out the way it did for Wilt Chamberlain, Tom?
Well, not initially, Ron. You know, the game started out as all games do. You know, people sort of, you know, teams feeling each other out. We were fairly confident we could defeat the New York Knicks. They were not a very good team at that time, although they had some pretty decent players. They had Richie Guerin, who's a Hall of Famer, and Darrell Imhoff, who was on the University of California Bears team that won the NCAA Finals in 1956. And so he's, 1960. You know, so they weren't, they weren't chump change. But we felt we were a very strong team that year. And we knew we were going to beat them. And Wilt was at that point, of course, this is March, and Wilt was averaging 50 points a game. So it wasn't, we weren't too surprised that that Wilt was scoring a bundle during that game. At one time prior to this particular game, he had already scored 75 or 76 points. So even as the point total rolled up and continued, none of us were too terribly shocked. It wasn't until Dave Zinkoff, the announcer for the Warriors, told the audience that I think Wilt scored 80. I think he said it was 82 or something like that early in the fourth quarter, that everybody suddenly became aware that we were about to witness a historic moment in sports. And I agree with you, Ron. I don't believe this will ever be done again. I don't think anybody will score 100 points in a basketball game.
And why do you feel that way, Tom? What is it? Is the fact that we have more bigger men in the league, and the fact that the game is played differently?
Well, yes, the game is played differently, and you would think that with the 3-point line and the speed at which this game is played, there's a better chance of scoring 100 points. But I simply think coaches wouldn't allow it. I think they would. If that game was that lopsided, I think they would take out their stars. And by the way, Wilt actually did try to get out of the game. This was before he recognized that he was going to do this very historical thing. He wanted to come out early, and Coach McGuire sort of ignored him and wouldn't let him go out of the game. You know, it could very well be, since both men have passed on, there's no way we'll ever find out. But I think Frank, in my opinion, Frank was probably recognized before all of us that Wilt was on his way to this historic moment and wasn't about to let him out of the game and off the hook, so to speak.
What was the crowd like as things went along?
Well, you know, of course, yeah, everybody was, you know, at first I think it was a yawner. I think the fans, and there weren't very many of them, were just, you know, realized that we were just going to beat the pants off of the Knickerbockers. But as the point totals accumulated, it became pretty clear. They started getting, up. And then by the fourth quarter, they were counting the points. They were yelling out the points as each time Wilt scored.
Also, when you take a look at Wilt, did he ever get tired during the course of that? Because I'm looking at his statistics. He was 36 of 63 from the field and 28 of 32 from the line, which we'll get to that free throw shooting percentage in a second, but 63 shots.
Wilt was more than human in some ways. I mean, Wilt never got tired. Wilt sweated a lot, and you know, he, on the surface, you would think he was tired, but he claimed that he never got tired. He claimed that a basketball game never tired him out, and he'd had quite a few confrontations later in his life, which is not part of this particular story, with coaches who wanted to take him out of ball games, and he didn't want to come out of the ball games because he said he wasn't tired. So, no, I don't really think he was tired. I think he was. By the time the game started getting to the point where he knew he was going to score 100 or get close to 100. I think his adrenaline rush was so great that there was no way he was going to be tired.
Al Addles, of course, has the great line in which he said, Wilt Chamberlain and I in that game combined for 117 points. And, of course, that means Al only had 17. But he was the second high scorer. You were third high scorer. You had 16 points in that game. Did everything just seem to go to Wilt? I mean, once you guys sensed that he had the hot hand, that he was doing what he was doing, you just kept feeding him?
Absolutely. You know, Al's points and my points came earlier in the game. And by the way, Arizona had 16 points, too, so right. I can't claim third just by myself. But most of those points came early in the game. Al and I, Guy, and Paul all were taken out of the game toward the end of the game. And the fellows that were on the court were the second stringers, York Larisi and Joe Rudlick and a few of the others, Gola and Conley, were in the ball game when Wilt actually scored the 100 points. We were the first string, other than Wilt, were on the bench. It was really pretty comical, Ron. I have to tell you, the New York Knicks were just frantically running around toward the game, trying their best to foul any of the other players other than Wilt, because I think at that point they realized Wilt was doing this tremendous thing on the free throw line, you know, something that they, at first they started to foul Wilt because they figured he was such a terrible free throw shooter. He was, I think, only 48% on the line that year, and figuring that they would foul him and rather than give him the opportunity to score 2 points. But then he continued to make free throws, and once he started continuing to make free throws, they decided they better foul somebody else, and so we began throwing the ball. Our team began throwing the ball from out of bounds all the way down court to Wilt. And Wilt was not to be denied, and he would go up in the air, catch these long, baseball passes that we threw to him, and then they would foul him, figuring they still had a better percentage there, and he wouldn't, he kept making those free throws.
Yeah, he was 36 of 63 from the field, 28 of 32 from the free throw line for the 100 points. What was his reaction when the game was over with what he had accomplished?
Actually, it was quite stoic. I thought our locker room. Well, of course, there was nobody there, Ron. It was very quiet. There was a reporter from the Hershey paper. Dave Zinkoff had scrawled 100, the number 100, on a piece of 8.5 by 11 blank paper, and Wilt held it up in his hands. They took a picture of him. The lights from the camera, from the Hershey camera, was on Wilt, and Coach McGuire was with him, was standing next to him, and they were talking. The rest of us were sort of off to the sidelines. We were marginalized by this amazing moment, and it was a very subdued and quiet one.
What do you think was the significance of that performance that night as far as professional basketball, and particularly for the NBA at that particular point in its existence?
Well, I think it so startled the basketball public that it did nothing but help the NBA. As I said, this was an emerging league. Our generation, our draft choice, 60, 61, 60. The 60, 61, 62 draft choice on top of Wilt's years and Bill's years sort of made up the base of the modern basketball game. And I think that 100 points was just a capper. It was cream on the cake. It was just absolutely fabulous. It brought the NBA sort of international fame too, because I don't think anybody could believe it. There were 200 point games in college. I think Bevo Francis did it. I can't remember the school he was in, and I think Frank Selfie scored 100 points for Furman. But these were college games, but when you consider a pro game, 100 points in a professional game against professional athletes, the very best of all the colleges It doesn't matter whether we were playing the Knicks or playing any team. It's an astounding accomplishment.
We got about 30 seconds left before we have to break here, but what do you think in the final analysis, having been a teammate of Wilt's, is his legacy as a basketball player?
Well, the 100-point game is certainly one of his legacies. The 50-point average is certainly one of his legacies. I think the other legacy might be his battles with Russell. I think those two, when they battled each other, it was like the Battle of Giants. And I think those huge encounters were also very much a part of his legacy. They actually were very good friends and competed brilliantly against each other. I think Wilt turns out to be a tremendously, a transitional player. I think he's also a player that could have played in any era at any time. He would have defeated Shaq hands down, in my opinion.
Tom Mascheri has joined us on Sports Byline. We continue across the country and around the world on America's Sports Talk Show.